shop was roughly the size of Howard's car, and even though it was pretty much breakfast time, the shop was packed to the brim with people happily devouring what I now knew was the most delicious substance on earth. They all looked rapturous. "Popular," I said to Howard.
"This place is the best. Really."
"Buongiorno."
A bell-shaped woman waved at us from behind the counter, and I made my way to the front. This place had a huge selection. Mountains of colorful gelato garnished with little bits of fruit or chocolate curls were piled high in metal dishes, and every single one of them looked like they had the ability to improve my day by about 900%. Chocolate, fruit, nuts, pistachio. How was I going to choose? Howard came up next to me.
"Would you mind if I ordered for you? I promise I'll get you another one if you don't like my choice."
That solved things. Sure, bad flavors of gelato probably don't exist, right?
Right. You could probably make dirt-flavored gelato and it would turn out all right.
Ew. He looked up at the woman.
"Un cono con bacio, por favore."
"Certo."
She took a cone from the stack on the counter, piled it high with a chocolate-looking gelato, then handed it to Howard, who handed it to me. "This isn't dirt-flavored, right?"
"No. Try it."
I took a lick. Super rich and creamy. Like silk, only in gelato form. Yum. Chocolate with... nuts?
"Chocolate with hazelnuts. It's called bacio, otherwise known as your mom's favorite flavor. I think we came here 100 times.
Before I could catch it, my heart slammed straight down to my feet, leaving me with a massive hole in my chest. It was amazing how I could just be going along, doing okay, and then suddenly, wham! I missed her so much, even my fingernails hurt. I looked down at my cone, my eyes stinging. "Thanks, Howard."
"No problem."
Howard ordered his own cone, and then we made our way out onto the street, and I took a deep breath. Hearing Howard talk about my mom had kind of thrown me, but it was summertime in Florence, and I was eating bacio gelato. She wouldn't have wanted me to be sad. Howard looked down at me thoughtfully.
"I'd like to show you something at Mercato Nuovo. Have you ever heard of the Porcellino Fountain?"
"No, but did my mom by chance swim in it?" He laughed.
"No, that was a different one. Did she tell you about the German tourist?"
"Yes."
"I don't think I've ever laughed that hard in my life. I'll take you there sometime, but I won't let you swim."
We made our way down the street. Mercato Nuovo was more like a collection of outdoor tourist shops. Lots of booths set up with souvenir stuff, like T-shirts printed with funny sayings. I am Italian, therefore I cannot keep calm. I'm not yelling, I'm Italian. And my personal favorite? You bet your meatballs I'm Italian. I wanted to stop and see if I could find something ridiculous to send to Addie, but Howard bypassed the market and led me to where a ring of people stood gathered around a statue of a bronze boar with water running out of its mouth. It had a long snout and tusks, and its nose was a shiny gold color, like it had been worn down. "Porcellino means boar?" I asked.
"Yes, this is the Fontana del Porcellino. It's actually just a copy of the original, but it's been around since the 17th century. Legend is that if you rub its nose, you'll be guaranteed to come back to Florence. Want to try?"
"Sure." I waited until a mom and her little boy cleared out of the way, then stepped forward and used my non-gelato hand to give the boar's nose a good rub, and then I just stood there. The boar was looking down at me with his beady eyes and creepy little molars, and I knew without asking that my mom had stood right here and gotten gross fountain water splashed all over her legs and hoped with all her heart that she stayed in Florence forever. And then look what had happened. She'd never even come back to visit, and she never would again. I turned around and looked at Howard. He was watching me with this kind of sad-slash-happy look in his eyes, like he'd just had the exact same line of thoughts, and now he suddenly couldn't taste his gelato all that well anymore either. Should I just ask him? No, I wanted to hear it from her. Conditions at the Duomo had not improved. In fact, the line had gotten even longer, and little kids were breaking down left and right. Also, Florence had decided we could all handle a little more heat, and makeup and sunscreen and all hope of ever cooling off was pretty much dripping off of people's faces.
Maybe we should have just stayed home,
the little boy behind us wailed.
Fa caldo,
the woman in front of us said. Caldo. I totally recognized an Italian word. Howard met my eye. We'd both been pretty quiet since the porcellino, but it was more of a sad quiet than an awkward quiet.
I promise it's worth it. 10 more minutes, tops.
I nodded and went back to trying to ignore all the sad feelings sloshing around my stomach. Why couldn't Howard and my mom just have had a happy ending? She'd totally deserved it. And honestly, it seemed like he did, too. Finally, we were to the front of the line. The Duomo stones had some kind of miraculous ability to generate cold air, and when we stepped inside, it took effort not to lie down on the stone floor and weep from happiness. But then I caught a glimpse of the stone staircase everyone was filing up, and suddenly I wanted to weep for a whole different reason. My mom had described walking up lots of stairs, but she'd left out the tiny detail that the staircase was narrow, like gopher tunnel narrow. I shifted nervously.
You okay?
Howard asked. No. I nodded. The line fed slowly into the staircase, but when I got to the base of it, my feet stopped moving. Like, stopped. They just straight up refused to climb. Howard turned around and looked at me. He kind of had to hunch over to even fit in the staircase.
You're not claustrophobic, are you?
I shook my head. I just never faced the possibility of being squeezed through a stone tube with a bunch of sweaty tourists. The people behind me were starting to bottleneck, and a man muttered something under his breath. My mom had said the view was amazing. I forced one foot onto the stairs. Wasn't a staircase this narrow a fire hazard? What if there was an earthquake? And, lady snorting nasal spray behind me, could you please give me some room?
Lena, I didn't tell you the whole story of the porcellino.
I looked up. Howard had walked back down to the stair just above me and was looking at me encouragingly. He was going to try to distract me. Well played, Howard. Well played. Tell me the story. I looked down at the stairs again, focusing on my breathing and finally beginning to climb. There was a smattering of applause from behind me.
A long time ago, there was a couple who couldn't have a child. They tried for years, and the husband blamed the wife for their bad luck. One day, after they'd gotten into a fight, the woman stood crying at the window, and a group of wild boars ran past the house. The boars had just had piglets, and the woman said aloud that she wished she could have a child just like the boars did. A fairy happened to be listening in and decided to grant her wish. A few days later, the woman found out she was pregnant, but when she gave birth, she and her husband were shocked because the baby came out looking more like a boar than a human. But the couple was so happy to have a son that they loved the child anyway.
That story doesn't sound true, a woman behind me said. I winced. 400 more steps? Chapter 14. The climb was totally worth it. The view of Florence was just as stunning as my mother had described it, a sea of red rooftops under an unblemished blue sky, and soft green hills circling everything like a big, happy hug. We sat up there roasting for about a half hour, Howard pointing out all the important buildings in Florence, and me working up the courage to climb back down the staircase, which turned out to be way easier. Afterward, we stopped for lunch at a cafe, and I left Florence with an unsettling realization. Regardless of what I was reading in the journal, I kind of liked Howard. Was that traitorous? Wren's scooter pulled up just after 9.
Wren's here,
Howard yelled from downstairs.
Will you tell him I'm still getting ready? And don't scare him!
I'll do my best.
I looked in the mirror. As soon as we'd gotten home, I'd figured out how to use Howard's arthritic washing machine, then hung a bunch of stuff to dry on the porch. Luckily, it was still sweltering outside, so my clothes had been dry in no time. No more crumpled-up t-shirts for me. If Thomas was going to be there, I wanted to look amazing, no matter what my hair insisted on doing. I'd tried the flat iron again, but my curls were feeling extra rebellious and had basically spat in its face. At least they were mostly vertical. Please, please, please let him be there. I twirled around. I was wearing a short jersey dress my mom had found for me more than a year ago at a thrift shop. It was kind of amazing, and I'd never really had anything to wear it to. Until now.
"Looking sharp tonight, Wren,"
Howard boomed scarily from downstairs. I groaned. Wren answered, but I couldn't make out the rest of their conversation except for a couple of yes sirs. After a few minutes, there was a knock on my bedroom door.
"Lena?"
"Hang on." I finished putting on my mascara, then gave myself one last look in the mirror. This was the longest I'd spent getting ready in ages. "You'd better be there tonight, Thomas Heath." I flung the door open. Wren's hair was wet like he'd just taken a shower, and he was wearing an olive-green t-shirt that set off his brown eyes.
"Hey, Lena, have you..."
He stopped.
"Whoa."
"Whoa what?" My cheeks flushed.
"You look so..."
"So what?"
"Bellissima. I like your dress."
"Thanks."
"You should wear dresses more often. Your legs are really..."
My blush spread like a wildfire. "Okay, you should totally stop talking about my legs. And quit staring at me."
"Sorry."
He gave me one last look, then made this stiff 45-degree turn to the corner like he was a penguin that had just been put on time out.
"I like your hair better curly."
"You do?"
"Yeah. Last night I thought you didn't really look like yourself."
"Huh." My cheeks were on fire. He cleared his throat.
"So, how's the journal? Have they crashed and burned yet?"
"Shh."
"He just left to check on something at the visitor center. He can't hear us."
"Oh, good." I pulled him into the room, then shut the door. And no, their relationship is still secret, and he seems kind of hot and cold, but for the most part, I'm still reading about the good stuff. It's all pretty lovey-dovey.
"Do you mind if I read it?"
"The journal?"
"Yeah. Maybe I could help you figure out what went wrong. And I could find more places to take you in Florence."
I hesitated for approximately 0.3 seconds. This was way too good of an offer to pass up. "Sure, but you have to promise. Promise me you won't tell Howard. I want to finish reading it before I talk to him about it."
"Promise. So space doesn't really open until about 10. How about I start reading now?"
"Good idea." I fished the journal out of my nightstand. It's pretty much half writing and half photographs, so it should go pretty fast. I marked where I left off, so don't read past that. I turned around and he was staring at my legs again. "Wren!"
"Sorry."
I walked over to him, flipping open the front cover. Look what she wrote on the inside cover. He made a low whistling noise.
"I made the wrong choice?"
"Yeah."
"That sounds ominous."
I think she wrote it as a message to me. He flipped through the pages.
"This should only take me, like, a half hour. I'm a really fast reader."
"Great. So, do you by chance know who is going to space with us?"
"You mean, will Thomas be there?"
"And, other people?"
"I don't know. All I know is that Elena sent out a mass text."
He looked up at me.
"And I think Mimi is coming."
"Nice." There was a pause, and then we both looked away at the exact same second. "So, I'll be on the porch." I grabbed my laptop and ran out of the room. I sort of hadn't been able to stop staring at him either. Weird. Wren met me on the porch. I'd hoped that the Italian internet gods would smile upon me and I'd be able to check my email or watch a YouTube cat video or something, but I'd had no such luck. Instead, I was lying on the swing, kicking off the banister every so often to keep me moving.
Your mom reminds me of you.
I sat up. How so?
She's funny. And brave. It's cool that she took such a big risk, dropping out of nursing school and everything. And her photographs are really good. Even though she was just starting out, you can tell she was going to be a game changer.
Did you see the series of portraits of Italian women?
Yeah, that was cool. And you totally look like your mom.
Thanks. He sat down next to me.
It's 9:30. Ready to go to space?
Ready.
I told Howard we'd honk on our way out. We had a good conversation earlier. I think we really made some progress.
I told him to be nice.
Is that why he kept smiling at me? It kind of freaked me out.
Lena's rules of scooter riding. Number one, never ride a scooter sopping wet. Number two, never ride a scooter wearing a short skirt. Number three, try to pay attention to light signals. Otherwise, every time the driver accelerates, you'll smash into him and you'll have this awkward untangling moment, and then you'll worry he's thinking you're doing it on purpose. Number four, if by chance you aren't abiding by rule number two, be sure to avoid eye contact with male drivers. Otherwise, they'll honk enthusiastically every time your skirt flies up. Ren turned down a one-way street, then pulled up next to a two-story building with a long line of people wrapped around its perimeter.
This is it.
Music pulsed from the windows. My stomach sank down to my sandals. This is like a club.
Yeah.
Do I have to actually dance?
Ren!
Elena was attempting to run across the street to us, but her high heels were making it difficult. The effect was sort of Frankenstein-ish.
Pietro put us on the list. Ciao, Lina. It is nice to see you again.
She pressed her cheek against mine and made a kissing sound.
Your dress is very beautiful.
Thanks, and thanks for getting us in. I really wanted to see space.
Oh, yes. Ren said something about your parents coming here. They're not here tonight, are they?
I laughed. No, definitely not.
Who's coming tonight?
Ren asked.
Everyone says they are coming, but we'll see who actually shows up. Don't worry, Lorenzo. I'm sure a certain someone will make it. Veni, Lina.
She linked arms with me, then dragged me across the street to the front of the line. Dragging me around was kind of her thing.
Dove vai?
A man in line yelled as we cut ahead of him. She tossed her hair.
Ignore him. We are much more important. Ciao, Franco.
Franco wore a black t-shirt and was disproportionately muscular on top, like he'd skipped leg day way too many times. He unhooked the velvet cord from a stanchion that blocked the entrance and let us inside. We stepped into a dimly lit hallway with big racks of clothing. Was this a coat room?
Continue, Elena said. The party is this way.
I kept going, my arms stretched out in front of me, blind as a bat. It was really dark. And loud. Finally, we emerged in a rectangular room with a long bar on one side. Two different songs were playing, one in English and one in Italian, and on the far side of the room, people sang group karaoke to a third. Everyone was either not talking or shouting to be heard.
Lina, do you want a drink?
Elena asked, gesturing to the bar. I shook my head.
We will wait here for everyone. Once we get in the actual club, there is no way to find each other.
This isn't the club? I asked. She laughed like she thought I was being cute.
No. You'll see.
I looked around. Was this the room where Howard had uttered his first infamous Hadley? I half expected to see him lounging against the wall, a good two heads taller than everyone else. Except this totally didn't seem like his scene. They probably wouldn't let him wear his flip-flops here. Ren nudged me.
Want to sing karaoke with me? We could pick something in Italian, and I could pretend I don't speak Italian either. It would be hilarious. How about...
He trailed off because Mimi and Marco were making their way toward us. Mimi was wearing a minuscule skirt, and her hair was pulled back in a long, loose braid. Not a stray Medusa hair in sight. I shot a look at Ren. Did he like her legs, too? Okay, yeah, he did. Someone needed to teach him the art of discretion.
Hi, guys.
Marco yelled. He had exactly one volume.
Lena!
He came at me with his arms outstretched, but I ducked.
Too fast for me, I guess.
Are you going to try to pick me up every time you see me?
Yes.
He turned and picked up Elena.
Ask Elena.
Marco, basta! Put me down or I'll feed you to a pack of wild dogs.
That's a new one.
Marco grinned at me.
She's kind of creative with her threats.
Mimi was yelling to be heard over the music. Ren, why didn't you call me back? I didn't know if you were going to be here or not. I couldn't hear his response, but she smiled at him and then started playing with the buttons on his shirt, which shouldn't have bugged me, but kind of did. Just because she was into him didn't mean she had to spread her Swedish PDA all over the place.
Lena?
I slowly turned around. Please let it be... Thomas! He was wearing a royal blue t-shirt that said, Banned from Amsterdam, and somehow looked even better than I remembered. If that was possible, I forgot all about Mimi's button playing.
Elena said you'd be here. I tried to call Ren to... Hello, stalker.
Ren suddenly side-checked him, sending him stumbling.
Ren, what the hell?
He said, straightening up.
I had like 10 missed calls from you. All you had to do was answer one.
Ren shrugged.
Sorry, man. I've been busy.
Mimi sidled up next to Ren, staring at me like she had no idea who I was. Hi, Mimi, I said.
Hey.
She squinted. I'm Lena. We met the other night at Elena's?
I remember.
Elena launched herself into the middle of our weirdly tense little circle.
Ragazzi, no more talking. I want to dance.
Do you dance?
Thomas asked me. Not really.
Me neither. We could just hang out. We could go walk around by the Arno or something. I know this cool place that... No way.
Ren grabbed my hand.
Thomas, you can't rob her of this experience. She's at space. She wants to get her dance on.
I don't have that much dance to get on, I protested.
Sure you do.
He lowered his voice.
And come on, this is where it all started, right?
I nodded, then looked at Thomas. I'd better stay. I would hate to miss the chance to embarrass myself.
Worst case, you just bust out your dirty dancing moves. Nobody puts baby in the corner, right?
I'm telling you, you know way too much about that movie.
Ragazzi, Elena yelled. I mean it. Let's go.
We followed her through a narrow doorway, Thomas resting his hand on the small of my back and causing all sorts of ecstatic feelings. And then we were all shoving our way up a ramp into a large room. For a second, I couldn't see anything solid. Everything was flailing. Then a spotlight washed over us, and O.M.G. We were in a gigantic room with a ceiling that was at least 25 feet high, and it was crawling with people, like an anthill, only with designer clothes. There were a bunch of platforms set up throughout the floor, so some people were standing like 5 feet above everyone else, and they were all dancing. And I don't mean the shopping cart or the sprinkler or any of the other moves that always seem to dominate the proms back home. They were really dancing, like having sex on the dance floor dancing. Mom, what have you gotten me into?
Welcome to space,
Ren yelled into my ear.
This is the most crowded I've ever seen it, probably because it's tourist season. Guys, follow me.
Marco put his arms in front of him like a diver, then started cutting through the crowd, all of us trailing behind.
Ciao, bella,
a man hissed in my ear. I yanked my head away. Everyone I brushed past was sweaty. This place was kind of gross. Finally, we were in a little pocket of space somewhere in the middle of the floor, and everyone started dancing. Immediately. I guess no one else needed a little warm-up period before they got their groove on. My palms started sweating. Time for positive self-talk. Lena, you are a confident woman and you've totally got this. Why don't you try out a sexy version of the Running Man? Or the Hokey Pokey? Just quit standing still. You look ridiculous. And then I made the fatal mistake of looking at Mimi, which made things about a million times worse. She had her arms up over her head, and she looked awesome, like cool, sexy European awesome. I wanted to crawl into a hole.
"You've got this,"
Ren yelled, giving me a thumbs up. I cringed. "Okay, start moving. Maybe copy Elena? Sway back and forth, move hips, pretend not to feel like a total idiot." I glanced at Thomas. He was doing this awkward back-and-forth step that kind of made me want to melt into oblivion, because how cute was he? He couldn't dance either. Maybe I could take him up on a walk through Florence later. And then something crazy happened. The music was so loud, it was like it was pounding and rattling through my bones and teeth, and everyone was having such a good time, and suddenly, I was dancing. Like, actually dancing. And actually having fun. Well, maybe not as much fun as Ren, who was dirty dancing with Mimi, but still. The DJ pulled a microphone close to his mouth and shouted something in Italian, and everyone cheered, raising their drinks over their heads.
"He is my friend! E mio amico!" Elena shouted.
"Lena, you're doing great!"
Ren shouted. Mimi was doing this crazy hip-rolling thing that looked like it required intense concentration, but when she heard Ren, she looked up, sending me the polar vortex of all looks. I was getting the feeling she didn't like me. Thomas nudged me with his shoulder. "Have you ever been someplace like this before?"
"No."
"It's weird. You'd have to be 21 to get into a club like this in the States." We were so close, I could see the tiny droplets of sweat in his hair. Even his sweat was sexy. I was officially disgusting. Ren disentangled from Mimi, then came up on my other side.
"Having fun?"
He was out of breath. "Yes."
"Good. I'll be back in a few."
Mimi grabbed his hand, and they disappeared into the crowd. Thomas made a face.
"He's kind of protective of you, isn't he?"
"It's because of my dad. He keeps messing with him, so Ren's afraid that something will happen to me, and he'll be the one to blame."
"Nothing will happen to you. You're with me."
Sort of cheesy, but I grinned. Idiotically. Thomas pretty much obliterated any control I had over my facial muscles. He raised his chin, looking over the crowd.
"There he is. Looks like he and Mimi are talking."
I stood on my tiptoes, taking the opportunity to rest my hand on his shoulder. Ren and Mimi were leaning against a wall, and she had her arms crossed in front of her chest and looked pissed. But maybe that was just her regular face. "So they're together, right?"
"Yeah. He's been into her for like 2 years. Guess persistence pays off, right?"
I nodded. "Right."
"Hey, I have to go call my dad, and then I'm going to get a drink. You want one?"
"Sure, thanks." He flashed me one of his bone-melting smiles, then disappeared into the crowd.
"Lena, dance with me."
Elena grabbed my hands and twirled me around.
"What is happening with you and Thomas? Is it amore?"
I laughed. "I don't know. This is only the second time I've ever seen him."
"Yeah, but he likes you. I can tell. He is never interested in anyone. And last night after you left, he asked me if I'd gotten your number."
"Ooh la la,"
Marco said.
"New girl and Thomas."
Elena rolled her eyes at him. "You sound like a child."
"Oh yeah? Could a child do this?"
He bent his arms at the elbows and started doing the robot.
"Marco, basta. You are awful at that."
"Want me to do the worm?"
"No."
The song faded into a faster-paced one, and soon the three of us were holding hands and jumping up and down like little kids. No wonder my mom had liked it here. It was pretty fun. Except for the fact that the temperature kept rising. Didn't this place have AC?
"Where's Thomas?"
Elena asked. Her bangs were plastered to her forehead with sweat. "He went to get a drink."
"He's been gone for a long time."
She fanned herself.
"Fa troppo caldo. I am sweating like a pig."
Suddenly the room tilted from under me, and I stumbled. Elena grabbed me by the arm.
"You okay?"
"I just got dizzy. It's too hot."
"What?"
"I'm too hot."
"Me too,"
Marco yelled.
I'm so hot.
I need to sit down for a minute. Lena, there are couches there. She pointed to where Ren and Mimi had been standing.
You want me to come with you?
No, it's okay. I will tell Thomas where you are. Thanks. I made my way over to the side of the room. The couches looked like breeding grounds for some kind of infectious disease, but I was desperate. I suddenly felt like I might pass out. The first couch was mostly taken up by a scrawny guy sprawled out on his back. He was wearing gold chains and an enormous pair of sunglasses, and every few seconds he'd twitch, like a fly had landed on him or something. An older-looking man sat smoking at the other end, and when he saw me, he smiled and said something in Italian. "Sorry, I don't understand." I pushed my way past. My head was pounding along with the music. Hopefully there was an open seat somewhere. Otherwise, I was going to have to buddy up with a passed-out wannabe rapper. There's one. I rushed for an open spot, but just as I got there, I stopped, because there was a pair of hands on my butt, and not in an accidental way. I whirled around. It was the older guy from the couch. His hair was long and greasy, and he smelled, amongst other things, like a dead muskrat pickled in vodka. Or at least, that's what I'd imagine one would smell like.
Dove vai, Bella?
Leave me alone. He reached out and ran his fingers along my bare shoulder, and I sprang away. Don't touch me.
Perché? Non ti piaccio?
One of his front teeth was gray, and he was way older than I'd originally thought, like 10 years older than anyone here. Forget the couch. I turned to run, but he lunged at me and then grabbed me by the arm. Hard. Stop it! I yanked my arm back, but he just tightened his grip. Elena? Marco! I couldn't even see them anymore. Where was Ren? I tried to pull away again, but the man grabbed me by the waist and pulled me into him until my pelvis was smashed up against his. Let go! Headbutt? Knee him in the crotch? What were you supposed to do when you got attacked? He grinned, sidestepping every desperate move I made. How was I going to get out of this? There were people everywhere, but absolutely no one was paying attention. Help me! Suddenly, someone grabbed me by the shoulders, pulling me back, and the man loosened his grip long enough for me to wrench my body away. It was Mimi, looking like some kind of beautiful, pissed-off warrior.
Vai via! Vai schifo! She yelled at the man. Vai!
He put both hands in the air, then grinned and walked away. Lena, why didn't you just tell him to go away? I tried. He wouldn't let go of me.
Try harder next time. Just call them a stronzo, then push them off you. I have to do it all of the time.
Stronzo? I was shaking all over. It felt like I'd just been dragged through a dumpster. That had been revolting. She crossed her arms.
What is happening between you and Ren?
I tried to focus my brain. I'm sorry, what? I rubbed at my arms, trying to get the feel of gray-toothed skin off of me.
What's going on between you and Lorenzo?
She spoke slowly, exaggerating her words like she thought I couldn't understand her. I don't know what you're talking about. Where was he? She looked at me for a moment.
You know Ren and I are together, right? He's only hanging out with you because he feels bad for you because your mom died.
Maybe it was leftover adrenaline from my run-in with Creepy McCreeperson, but suddenly I blurted out the first thing that came to mind. Is that why he was ignoring your calls last night? Her eyes widened and she stepped toward me murderously.
He was home with his little sister.
No, he was at Ponte Vecchio with me. Please let me have pronounced that right.
There you are.
Thomas stepped between us, holding a soda in each hand. He took one look at Mimi and wilted.
Whoa, what did I miss?
Shut up, Thomas. She turned and flounced away.
What just happened?
Thomas asked. I have no idea.
Lena.
Ren was shoving his way toward me.
There you are. Do you want to leave? It's like 1,000 degrees in here. I think the AC might be broken.
Relief flooded through me, and suddenly I was holding back a boiling lake of tears.
Where have you been?
Looking for you.
He leaned in.
Are you okay?
I want to leave. Now.
I need to leave too,
Thomas said.
I'll walk out with you guys.
It took us what felt like an hour to get out of there, and when we finally burst out onto the sidewalk, we all gulped in the cool air like we'd just emerged from the depths of the ocean.
Freedom,
Thomas said.
That was like being slowly smothered.
I leaned back against the wall and shut my eyes. I was never going there again. Ever. Ren touched my arm.
Lena, are you okay?
I did a half-shake, half-nod. Okay? I could still smell pickled muskrat.
So what did you think of space? Perfect place for a relationship to start? What relationship?
Thomas asked.
Mine and Lena's?
He gave me a meaningful look, but I barely noticed. He means my parents. I took a deep breath. This old guy attacked me. He grabbed me and wouldn't let go.
What do you mean? In space?
Ren whirled around like he thought he could see through the walls.
When?
Right before you found me. Mimi rescued me.
That's what was going on,
Thomas said.
Are you okay? What a creep. Are you hurt?
Ren asked. No, it was just awful. Ren looked furious.
Why didn't you yell for me? I would have destroyed him.
I had no idea where you were. Thomas's phone started ringing, and he looked down at it and groaned.
My dad keeps calling. We have family in town, and I told him I wouldn't stay out long.
He looked up at me.
But I'm not leaving without getting your number.
Oh, sure. I'd practiced for this, but when I went to tell him my new number, I forgot and had to look at the paper I'd written it on.
Great. I'll call you tomorrow.
He gave me a big hug, then clapped Ren on the shoulder.
See you around. Later.
Ren turned to watch Thomas walk away, and I used the opportunity to wipe my eyes. My mascara was everywhere.
His shirt was really stupid, don't you think?
What?
Banned from Amsterdam? No one gets banned from Amsterdam. That's the point.
I wouldn't know.
I'm really sorry about what happened in there. I shouldn't have left you alone.
He looked at me closer.
Wait a second. Are you crying?
No. A giant tear rolled down my face, and then another.
Oh, no.
He put his hands on my shoulders and looked me in the eyes.
I'm so sorry. We'll never go there again.
I'm sorry. I feel really stupid. That guy was just so disgusting. But that was only half the reason I was crying. I took a deep breath. Ren, why did you tell Mimi my mom died? His eyes widened.
I don't know. It just came up. She was asking why you moved here, and I just told her. Why? Did she say something?
You know, you don't have to feel sorry for me. It's not like I need you to read the journal and drive me around everywhere. I can figure this out on my own. I get that you have a life.
Whoa, what? I don't feel sorry for you. I mean, it's sad that you lost your mom and everything, but I hang out with you because I like to. You're different.
Different?
You know, like we talked about last night. We're alike, you know?
I ran my arm across my face, because that was totally going to help the mascara situation. Promise?
Yeah, I promise. What brought that on?
Mimi. I stopped. Did it matter? She was just a jealous girl, and every time Ren saw her, he acted like he'd just won the lottery.
Mimi what?
Never mind. Can we go to Piazza Signoria? I want to see that statue. Chapter 15. We were quiet on the drive to the piazza. It was after 11, and the city felt different, sort of emptied out. Like me, after an embarrassing post-clubbing cry-fest. Ren pulled his scooter up to a curb, and we both got off. This is it?
This is it. Piazza Signoria.
He was looking at me like I was a box of highly fragile dishes, but I was still covered in snot, so I guess he was justified. I walked out into the piazza. One side was lined by a large fortress-looking building with a clock tower, and in front of that was a fountain with a statue of a man surrounded by smaller figures. A handful of people were milling around, but for the most part it was empty. "What's that building?" I asked.
"Palazzo Vecchio."
"Old something. Old palace?"
"Esattamente. You're getting good."
"I know. I recognized the word old. I'm practically fluent." We smiled at each other. My eyes felt like water balloons, but at least I wasn't sniveling anymore. Sheesh. I was lucky Ren hadn't abandoned me at the nearest taxi stand.
"So what happened here again?"
Ren asked. This is the first place he told her he loved her. They were looking at a statue, something with rape in its name.
"Oh, right. The rape of the Sabine women. I think it's under that roofed area."
We made our way across the piazza, passing a bunch of other statues along the way, then walked under an arched entryway into what was basically a large patio filled with sculptures. I recognized it right away. There it is. The Rape of the Sabine Women was made of white marble and sat high on a pedestal, the three figures intertwined in one tall column. I walked around it slowly. My mom was right. No one looked happy, per se, but they were all connected, and they definitely complemented each other. They were also all naked, and their muscles and tendons were bulging out all over the place. Gian Bologna hadn't been kidding around. Ren pointed.
"Look at how the woman is looking back at the other man. She definitely didn't want to go. And that guy on the ground looks totally spooked."
"Yeah." I folded my arms, looking up at the statue. Is it just me, or is this a weird spot for Howard to tell my mom he loved her?
"Maybe it just kind of happened. He got caught up in the moonlight or whatever."
"But he was studying art history, and he'd just told her the whole backstory. I'd be surprised if it didn't have some kind of significance to him." Ren hesitated.
"Speaking of Howard, I have to tell you something."
"What?" He took a deep breath.
"I sort of asked him about the secret bakery."
I whirled around. "Ren! You told him about the journal?"
"No, of course not."
He pushed his hair out of his eyes, avoiding my gaze.
"It was when you were getting ready. I made up this whole story about my mom finding a secret bakery when she first moved here, and then I asked him if he knew where one was. I was going to surprise you and take you there tonight after space."
Finally, he looked up at me with big, soulful eyes, and I sighed. It was like trying to be mad at a baby seal. "Did he tell you where it was?"
"No. That was the weird thing. He said he'd never been to one."
I squinted at him. "What? And you described it to him?"
"Yeah. I tried to be vague so he wouldn't know I was talking about his date with your mom, but he acted like he had no idea."
"So he didn't remember taking her there?" He shook his head.
"No, it was more than that. It was like he'd never even heard of Florence's secret bakeries."
"What? That doesn't seem like something you'd forget."
"I know, right?"
"Was he lying?"
"Maybe, but why would he?"
He shook his head again.
"For the past couple of hours, I've been trying to come up with a reason why he'd forget about the bakery, but so far I have nothing. No offense, but your parents' story is kind of sketchy."
I put my back to one of the columns, then slid to the ground with a thud. "You're telling me. Why do you think I'm reading the journal?" He sat down next to me, then leaned in until our arms touched.
"I really am sorry, though."
I exhaled. "It's okay, and you're right. Something is weird. I've been thinking that all along."
"Maybe you should ask him about something else from the journal, like a test."
"Like the rape of the Sabine women?" We looked up at it.
"Yeah. See what he does when you ask him about that."
"Good idea." I looked at the ground. Now it was my turn to hesitate. "So, I did something I should probably apologize for, too."
"What?"
Back at space, Mimi and I kind of got into this argument, and I told her that you were ignoring her calls when we were at Ponte Vecchio. His eyes widened.
Cavolo. I'm guessing that's why she called me a cretino and left.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what a cretino is, but I'm sorry. Thomas told me you've liked her for a long time, and I hope I didn't mess things up.
I'll call her when I get home. It'll be okay.
He sounded like he was trying to convince himself. I took a deep breath. Hey, you know, if you can't hang out with me anymore, I understand. It seems like it's kind of complicating things for you.
No, it's good complicated.
He pulled out his cell phone.
It's almost 11:30. Back to the cemetery?
Yeah, I should get back to the journal.
And the man of mystery.
When I got home, Man of Mystery was inexplicably taking a pan of muffins out of the oven. You're baking?
Yes.
It's almost midnight.
I specialize in late-night kitchen disasters. Also, I thought you might want a snack when you got home, and my blueberry muffins are legendary. And by legendary, I mean edible. Sit down.
It was a command. I pulled out a chair and sat.
So where did you go tonight?
I hesitated for a second, then plunged in. Space. It's a club near the Arno. He chuckled.
That place is still around?
Phew. At least he remembered space. Yes. Have you been there?
Lots of times. Your mother did, too.
I leaned forward. So you guys, like, went together?
Many times. Usually on nights we should have been studying. I don't know what it's like now, but it used to be the place to go for international students. Lots of Americans.
He transferred a couple of muffins to a plate, then set it on the table, pulling up a chair. Space was kind of grimy. I didn't like it very much.
I never really did either, and I'm not much of a dancer.
So I had him to thank for my dancing skills. I took a muffin and broke it open, steam curling up toward my face. Now or never. So, Howard, I have a question for you. You know a lot about art history, right?
Yes.
He smiled.
That's one thing I know plenty about. You knew I was teaching art history when your mom and I met, right?
Right. I looked down at my muffin again and took a deep breath. Well, Ren and I went for a drive after space, and we stopped in this piazza. Piazza della Signoria? Anyway, there was an interesting statue, but we didn't know the history of it.
Hmm.
He stood up and grabbed a butter dish off the counter, then sat down again.
Lots of statues there. Do you know who it was by?
No. It was in this open-air gallery, kind of like a covered patio. You can just walk in.
Oh, right. Loggia de Lanzi. Let's see, there are the Medici lions and the Cellini. What did it look like?
It was of two men and a woman. I held my breath.
Woman being carried away?
I nodded. He smiled.
The rape of the Sabine women. That one is actually pretty interesting, because the artist, Gian Bologna, didn't even think of it as a real piece. He just made it as an artistic demonstration to show that it was possible to incorporate three figures into one sculpture. He didn't even bother to give it a name, and then it ended up being the work he's best known for.
Okay. Interesting, but not quite the story he'd told my mom. I tried again. Do you know if my mom ever saw it? He cocked his head.
I don't know. I can't remember ever talking to her about Gian Bologna. Why? Did she tell you about it?
I can't remember. His face was as smooth as a fresh jar of Nutella. He definitely wasn't lying, but was it really possible that he'd forgotten? Had he suffered some kind of head trauma or have a mental block that kept him from remembering details about his relationship with my mom? Suddenly, a new thought tiptoed out of the corner of my mind. What if he wasn't forgetting or denying? What if... I sprang to my feet, crumbling the muffin in my hand. I need to go upstairs. I ran out of the room before he could ask why. My mother's words spun through my mind as I climbed the stairs. Yes, X, I seriously don't think anyone would read my journal, but I'm giving him a new name just in case. As soon as I was in my room, I locked the door behind me and fumbled for the journal. I switched on my lamp and started flipping through it.
Howard, the perfect southern gentleman, southern giant, Francesca calls him, handsome, kind, and the kind of guy who will go marching into battle for you. I love being in love in Italy, but truth be told, I would fall for X anywhere.
Howard offered to walk me home, and I found myself telling him about Adrienne and the psychic. No way, I breathed. There was a reason Howard didn't know about the secret bakery or the significance of Giambologna's statue and why my mom had slipped up and called him by his real name. He wasn't X.
Addie, pick up, pick up,
I whispered. Hey, this is Addie. Leave a message and I'll...
Urgh.
I tossed the phone on my bed and started pacing around. Where was she? I went and stood at the window. My mom had been in love with someone who wasn't Howard. She'd had this take-over-everything, passionate love affair, and then she'd ended up pregnant with someone else's baby. Howard's. Was that her wrong choice? That she'd gotten pregnant with Howard when she'd really been in love with someone else? Was that what had made her flee Italy? I fell heavily into my chair, then popped back up. Ren would answer. I dove onto my bed, fishing my phone out of the covers and dialing his number. He answered on the second ring.
Lena?
Hey, listen, I did what you suggested. I asked him about the statue.
What did he say?
He knew all about it, the history and everything. But then I asked him if he'd ever seen it with my mom, and he couldn't remember.
What is his deal? Either he has the worst memory in the world, or...
Or he was never there, I interrupted impatiently.
What?
Ren, think about it. Maybe he doesn't know about the secret bakery or the confession of love at the Sabine statue because he isn't X.
Oh.
Right?
Oh. Well, yeah. Okay, walk me through it.
I'm thinking it went something like this. My mom moves to Italy and makes a bunch of friends, Howard included. Then a few months in, she falls for this guy, X. Something happens, maybe they fight too much or there's too much pressure because the school has some kind of weird rule about dating, and they break up. Then my mom rebounds with this nice southern gentleman who probably had a thing for her all along. She gives it a try, but she can't get X off her mind. Then one day she finds out she's pregnant and panics because she's having a baby with someone she isn't in love with.
That totally makes sense.
I know. And that would explain why we stayed away from him all these years. I mean, he's a nice guy, and from all the stories she told, he was definitely a good friend to her. But you can't just pretend to be in love with someone. It would hurt them too badly.
Poor scary Howard,
Ren breathed. And that's why she wrote, I made the wrong choice. Maybe that was her big regret. She had a baby with someone she wasn't in love with.
Except you're that baby. So do you really think she'd have written that in the front of her journal?
Oh, probably not. I sat down. But Ren, it's so sad. I mean, the way Howard talks about her, you can tell he really loved her. And she told me all these stories about how much fun they used to have together. But it just wasn't enough. She loved someone else.
It's like that old song, Love Stinks.
Never heard of it.
You haven't? It's in a bunch of movies. It's about how whenever you fall in love with someone, it turns out they're in love with someone else. And it's this big messed up cycle where no one ends up with the person they want.
Ugh, that is so depressing.
Tell me about it.
He paused.
Are you going to tell Howard that you know? About X?
No. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it eventually, but not until I finish the journal. I have to make sure my theory is right. April 5th. Another night of drama. Simone got tickets to a new club near Piazza Santa Maria Novella, and our group plus a few other students met up around 11. I'd been working late at the studio, so I showed up on my own, and when I got there, the first two people I saw were Adrienne and Howard. They were to the side of the building, and Adrienne was standing with her back to the wall, and Howard was leaning into her, saying something in a low voice. The scene was so intimate that for a moment I didn't understand what I was seeing. I've never seen the two of them even talk one-on-one. What was this? I went into the club without them noticing and found the rest of the group, and then the two of them came in separately, acting like nothing had happened. Then things got really weird. Partway through the night, Adrienne called Alessio a liar, something about him breaking his promise to go with her to an art exhibit, and for some reason that really set Howard off. He told her that she was the last person on earth who should call someone a liar, and that if she had any shred of dignity, she'd come out with the truth. Adrienne hissed back that it was none of his business. Then Simone stepped in and told them to both calm down. Guess I'm not the only one with secrets. April 19. X has been out of town for a full week, but he gets home tomorrow. Tomorrow. I haven't been able to think about anything else. After class, I told Francesca that I needed to find the dress. You know, the once-in-a-lifetime dress guaranteed to make anyone fall in love with you. Or, in my case, make me look amazing when I tell him my big news. Francesca was the perfect person to ask because when it comes to shopping, she has the patience of a saint. It took us 5 hours, but we finally found it. It's an off-white sundress, very feminine, with a sweetheart neckline and a skirt that falls just above the knee. Francesca even talked me into getting a haircut. Who knew cutting off a few inches of useless hair could give you cheekbones? And what's my big news, you ask? Earlier this week, Petruccioni asked me if I'd be interested in staying on through August to assist with the upcoming semester. I'll be paid and get an extension on my student visa, which means I will be here until the end of the summer. April 20. Woke up early this morning, ecstatic to see X, and there was a message on my phone. He decided to extend his time at the conference he's attending and won't make it until Monday. That's when I had a brilliant idea. I'll surprise him in Rome. Even if he's attending seminars all day, at least we'll be in the same city. I can spend my days touring. Express trains take only 90 minutes, so if I catch the 4 p.m. train this afternoon, I'll be waiting for him at his hotel when he's done for the day. I can't wait to see the look on his face. April 21. This is my third attempt to sit down and write about what happened in Rome. I can't believe I'm writing this, but it's over. I was never able to find X's conference online, so when I arrived, I called his cell phone and told him I was at the train station with some great news. Right then, an announcement started on the station's overhead speakers, and when things finally quieted down, I realized that something was wrong. He told me to wait right where I was. A half hour later, he came charging into the train station, and something was definitely wrong. I asked him if he wanted to sit in one of the station's cafes, and for the next 20 minutes, I just listened to him talk. Bottom line, he feels like his work has gotten stagnant. He needs some new creative space, and he's decided to leave the school and pursue another job in Rome. Oh, and we're over. Over. I just sat there, his words swirling around me. It was like my mind couldn't process it. And then it all hit me. This was the end. He was breaking up with me. Suddenly, I couldn't hear his excuses anymore, only the hard truths. I'd spent 9 months lying to my friends. I'd strained ties with my family. I'd completely changed my life to be closer to him, and our relationship had never been to him what it was to me. I had the fleeting thought that I could talk him out of it, tell him that I'd figured out a way to stay in Florence even longer. But even in that brief moment of denial, I knew it was useless. When someone walks out of a relationship, there's nothing you can do to keep them there. X was still talking when I stood. I said goodbye to him in a normal voice, like I hadn't just been shattered into a million pieces, then went to the counter and bought a return ticket on the very next train. I hadn't even been in Rome for an hour. I never even got to wear my dress. April 22. Woke up this morning thinking I'd had some kind of nightmare. But just like the last few days, reality was waiting for me to get my bearings so it could knock me down again. My eyes were so swollen from crying myself to sleep that I had to sit